friend for you a chance to visit the other side of a dream. Your ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
That's an award winner right there. That won the Academy Award for Best Song, Best Original Song, Up Where We Belong. This movie won two Academy Awards, Best Supporting Actor, Louis Gossett Jr., nominated for Best Actress for Deborah Winger, and Screenplay, Editing, and Film Score. Director was Taylor Hackford. It's an officer and a gentleman from 1982. It's a drama, romance, dramatic movie and romance. Taylor Hackford is actually married to Helen Mirren, and he also made Ray in 2004, another one of his claim to fames. It stars Richard Gere, Deborah Winger, David Keith, Louis Gossett Jr., and Robert Loggiola, who is the guy that dances with Tom Hanks on the giant piano in Big, in the movie Big. The plot for An Officer and a Gentleman: a young man must complete his work at a Navy officer candidate school to become an aviator with the help of a tough gunnery sergeant and his new girlfriend. Studios Paramount Pictures. It was rated R. The runtime was 2 hours and 4 minutes. Soundtrack was a guy named Jack Nitzsche. And we're listening to it in the background here as my father and I talk about this one. Again, it won 2 Academy Awards for Best Supporting Actor and Best Original Song. The producer, Don Simpson, unsuccessfully demanded that the ballad of Up Where We Belong be cut from the film and said that it's boring, it's not a hit. And it later, of course, became the number one song on the Billboard chart and won an award. And a Grammy, actually. Former Marine drill instructor turned actor R. Lee Ermey, who passed away this week, actually coached Louis Gossett Jr. And, of course, Gunnery Sergeant Foley is Louis Gossett Jr. in the movie. R. Lee Ermey played a tough and profane drill sergeant in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket a few years later. And, again, he passed away this week. Ironically, he was initially hired as a coach for that movie as well before landing the role. John Travolta actually turned down the lead role that Richard Gere plays, and Richard Gere said, "I only made it for the money," when he was interviewed years later. The budget was $6 million, and this was a huge, huge success in the 1982. It made $131 million and an IMDb score of 7.0 out of 10. And it's also my dad's 4th out of 5 flicks today. So tell me about An Officer and a Gentleman, 1982. Did you go see this one in the movies too, Dad?
Yeah, I did, yeah. Well, having completed Army basic training, I really admired the gunnery sergeant in this movie. He just does an outstanding job of shaping up everybody. And Zach has his dream of becoming an officer. And despite his father's discouragement, Zach's determined to go through his childhood grief of becoming a Navy pilot. And he almost drops out. And the gunnery sergeant is who keeps him going, and eventually they have a big fight, which eventually is won.
That's where the big line comes, right? I've got nowhere else to go.
Right, I have nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And eventually, Zach graduates, and what's interesting is Nate OCS, I came from Tiverton, Rhode Island. The OCS for the Navy was in Newport, Rhode Island, and the same thing used to happen there. You needed a degree for one thing, and one of the fallacies in the movies is the sergeant says to Zach, "You must be a college boy," and you have to be in order to go to OCS. That's how you become the, as they call it, the 90-day wonder.
Right.
If you've got your degree and you qualify physically and mentally, you can go and become an officer within the 13-week program. But of course, so this is Puget Sound, and they talk about the young women in the area who dream of marrying a naval aviator to discuss their dull local lives. Foley claims that the regiment of OCs, and they'll fake pregnancy and even stop using birth controls to become pregnant to trap the men. Yeah. I can remember my sister dating some of the OCs in Newport, and thinking of the same thing, because Newport was a base of 20,000 sailors and dependent, and plus the OC schools. And even if you go down to Newport today, if you want to spend Saturday night in Newport, you see the OCs on leave for the weekend, walking around the town with the thousands of tourists. So and there's loads of places down there. That used to be the place to go.
So what was the reasoning behind that? Was it just an all-around man? So he had the good looks, he was fit, he also got some money from the government. So, you know, is that what it was? Plus a respectable job, right?
Exactly.
As an aviator.
Yeah. And one of the things in the movie, one of the highlights is one of the buddies who eventually he is dating someone, Zach's buddy, and his girlfriend does say she's pregnant. And then he's so upset that he actually drops out. And then the highlight is when she says, "You dropped out. You're not going to be a naval aviator?" She said, "I want to be married to a naval aviator. I want to lead the life of a naval aviator's wife."
Right.
And when he says he's dropped out, she says, "I'm not pregnant, and I don't want to see you anymore."
Wow.
And you know what he does?
Wow.
He's so upset. He goes back to the room in a motel, which is now, it's a national landmark, I think it says in the write-up. And he goes in there, and he's so distraught, he hangs himself.
No.
Yeah.
This is what happens in the movie?
Yeah, this is what happens in the movie.
He kills himself?
He's dropped out of the program. The girlfriend isn't pregnant, and he says that's why he dropped out. He's going to marry her. And she says she doesn't love him this much. She wanted to marry a naval aviator and see the world. And guess what? I think the two of them work.
But he doesn't succeed in killing himself.
Yeah, he hangs himself.
He does. I never seen this one. I've only seen clips.
I just spoiled the movie.
You spoiled the movie for me. So, I thought he like picks her up and carries her off into the distance, or is that like a dream?
No. Riding off in the Zach and eventually with Deborah Winger. He's riding.
Okay.
He's riding his Triumph motorcycle. But they both work in like a canning factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just a couple of workers in a canning factory. In Puget Sound.
So you're talking about his buddy, the one that David Keith plays.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, I saw this a very, very long time ago, and it's been a long time, so I just watched a couple of clips on this, but I'm not as familiar with this movie. So, all right, I know, spoiler alert, somebody's going to kill themselves.
Yeah.
That's probably why it got the R rating, right?
Yeah.
In the profanity.
Yeah, it's Sid. It's Sid and Lynette.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, Lynette, who's the girlfriend of Sid, she just passed away last week. She wasn't that old. She was only like 53 or something.
Oh, no kidding.
That I read about, yeah.
Wow, yeah, quite a few people from Hollywood movies passed away this week, including Barbara Bush, of course.
Right.
She was never in any movies, was she? Barbara Bush show up in any movies? She must have been in a bunch of documentaries.
Not
but I don't
that
know
I
if she
of.
Ever actually showed up in a movie.
Yeah, Barbara Bush reminds me. My grandmother was born in 1896.
Mm-hmm.
She reminds me of the grandmothers, the roast, the matriarch type females from the last century.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and times have changed.
She always looked old.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like she was 40 years old. She looked like she was 90.
Yeah.
Well, like she basically said the last 50 years.
Yeah.
Looked like an old leather bag.
Yeah. A lot of women would start their white hair sooner than necessary. Do you want white hair or do you want gray hair?
Yeah. Me? I'm starting to get the white hairs.
Or do you want no hair?
Yeah. I don't know. I might shave it.
Well, all the women want something.
I'm starting to get the grays. When I had the beard start to come in, the grays were starting to come in a little, and the white hairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be a silverback gorilla as I get old. I want to look like a silverback gorilla.
Yeah. So the movie has a great ending because Zach completes the program, now ends in mail with orders to undertake flight training.
Uh-huh.
He seeks out Paula at the factory where she works and declares his love for her. He picks her up and walks out with her in his arms to the applause of her co-workers, including a still dismayed Lynette.
Yes, yes.
Poor
Lynette.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Paul has got her man, and Lynette's got nothing. She's still going to work in the canning.
They should do a sequel to Lynette's movie. Let's move on to the next movie. This is number 5. It is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987 is the next one in Paul's 5 flicks.
Welcome to Marathon. May I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
too high, mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Ah, everybody was juiced, you can bet your soul. They did the boogie boogie with a sturdy roll. They mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Now, when I say stop, don't you move a peg. When I say go, just shake your leg and do the mess around. I declare, doing the mess around. Yeah, do the mess around. Everybody's doing the mess around. Now let me have it, there, boy.
It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is my dad's fifth out of the five flicks today. A great, great movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. And it's definitely in my top 10. Director is John Hughes, starring Steve Martin, John Candy, Layla Robbins, or Lila Robbins, Michael McKean, and Kevin Bacon is in the beginning of the movie. A white-collared businessman must struggle to travel home for Thanksgiving with the blue-collared, obnoxious slob of a shower curtain ring salesman as his only companion. Studio is Paramount Pictures. It was rated R only because they used the F-bomb 18 times in one scene. The running time is an hour and 39 minutes. Again, it's a Thanksgiving movie, and a lot of families watch this every Thanksgiving, including myself and my buddies from UMass. We usually always get together and try to have a couple of drinks, play some cards, and watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Soundtrack is by a guy named Ira Newborn. The soundtrack is long out of print, and it features a mix of rock and roll, country, and pop. One side is the city, and the other side is the country. John Candy and Steve Martin claimed that this was their favorite movie that they ever made. The marathon car rental scene is exactly 1 minute long, from the time Steve Martin starts his tirade to the time the attendant ends the scene. In that 60 seconds, the word effing is used 18 times. It's only said in the movie during that scene. The film would have received a PG-13 rating, or even a PG rating, if it had not been for that scene. John Hughes, in an interview on DVD, said he was inspired to write the film's story after an actual flight from New York to Chicago he was on. He was diverted to Wichita, Kansas, and it took him 5 days to get home. He wrote the first draft of the screenplay in 3 days. No transportation company wanted to appear inept or deficient in any way, so the crews had to rent 20 miles of a train track and refurbished old railroad cars and constructed a set that looked like an airline terminal. They designed a rent-a-car company logo called Marathon and created the uniforms and rented 250 cars for the infamous rent-a-car sequence. The exterior of their aircraft in flight is a reuse of the 707 that flies through a storm from the movie Airplane. It's the exact same scene from Airplane, which was also released by Paramount Pictures in 1980. in the airport scene in Wichita when the airline employee announces that his flight has been canceled. If you look in the background, you can see the destination of the flight is tagged as Nowhere. And Ben Stein is the announcer in that. The budget was $30 million, and it made $49.5 million. It opened Thanksgiving Day weekend in 1987. Great, great movie. And, Dad, you picked this. Did you see this one in the theaters, or did you just see this on TV for the first time?
I saw it on cable television.
Saw it on cable for the first time, yeah. I actually saw this one in the theaters. It was one of my. It was a date on Thanksgiving weekend in 1987. I went and saw this with my girlfriend at the time. So tell me why you picked this one. It's a great, great movie. I think everybody can relate to this one.
Well, I like both Steve Martin and John Candy in Almost Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and John Candy, it was a disappointment. He had such a short life. He was so funny.
Yeah, he was. I loved him, too. I mean, I think he was 42 when he died.
Right.
And, he was just getting started, in my opinion. He'd been in a whole bunch of movies, and he was always that lovable guy, you know.
Even Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live, SCTV, and just a lot of great, great movies. And so there's basically the other part of this movie is the white collar versus the blue collar. So you have Steve Martin, who's, you know, obviously got some money, who's working in New York City, and he has to put up with this guy that he normally wouldn't even consider talking to. And basically they're stuck together for the whole movie because John Candy his lovable thing, takes his cab, does his lovable thing, and wants to help him out. And he sticks with Steve Martin the whole way to try to get him home. So, just a really, really good movie. Oh, this is great, too. In the background, this is the scene where he uses up every single towel in the hotel room. So when John Candy and Steve Martin get the room together, they only have one bed, and it vibrates. And John Candy spills beer all over the bed. And then Steve Martin gets up to take a shower, and John Candy's already used the bathroom. And it literally has no... no towels left. So he's washing and the sink's filled with his dirty socks, and then he wipes his face with his underwear by accident.
Right. Yeah, and the great scene when they're in the car driving and everybody on the other side is yelling, "You're going the wrong way, you're going the wrong way." And it's a long scene, and finally you're wondering, what are they going to see?
Yeah.
There's two 18-wheelers coming toward them.
Yes.
And they're just wide enough for the car to go between the two trucks.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. And then in the end, when they're finally got another truck to give them a ride,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing, it's not a ride in the cab, it's in the back of the truck, which is full of cheese, and they're sitting between the boxes of cheese for the final sprint to Chicago, where Steve Martin, you know, lives in a beautiful house with the children and everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great movie. And again, you know, this has been out for 31 years now, and pretty much watch it every single Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite movies. And just, you know, the amazing amount of one-liners in the movie is just great. Just a funny, funny movie. So this is actually going to be our scene of the week. So we do something called Are You Ready for Your Close-Up here every week on Watch This, where I take myself and my guests, perform a scene from one of the five flicks, and today we're going to do maybe a scene or two from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles here. So I think the main thing I think we should do is the rental scene, of course. I think we can do that. Let me put on some appropriate music for that, I think. I'll put on the Red River Rock in the background while we're doing this scene here. So I will play the car rental agent. And Dad, why don't you play Neil Page? And this is going to be... Are You Ready for Your Close-Up here on Watch This with Chris Earle and Paul Earle from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 1987. This is the rental car scene. Are you ready, Dad?
Yes.
At the rental car agency, Neil finds the rental car he was assigned is not in the expected spot. Welcome to Marathon. How may I help you?
Yes.
How may I help you?
You can stop by wiping that effing dumbass smile off your rosy effing cheeks. Then you can give me an effing automobile, an effing Datsun, an effing Toyota, an effing Mustang, an effing Buick. Four effing wheels and a seat.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of effing nowhere with effing keys to an effing car that isn't effing there. And I really don't care to effing walk down an effing highway and cross an effing runway to get back here to have you smile at my effing face. I want an effing car right now.
May I see your rental agreement?
I threw it away.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
You're effed.
That's pretty good. This is a nice job, Dad.
I burst out laughing looking at the movie with that.
Oh, just killer scene.
And the lady who was the rental agent, she was on another television show.
Yes, she was also a big improv person. She would show up in all of all the John Hughes movies. Her name is Edie, I believe it's, I forget what her name is, but I know it's Edie, and she was a improv person. She shows up in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She shows up in all the John Hughes movies. Just a great, great flick. Let me check that out, actually. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles from 1987. Her name is Edie McClurg is the rental car agent. Yes. And Ben Stein, of course, he shows up as the Wichita Airport representative. And the other great part is you see Kevin Bacon, who doesn't speak at all in the very beginning of the movie when he actually races him to get the taxi cab. And Kevin Bacon wins the taxi cab over Steve Martin. And then John Candy, of course, steals the taxi cab from Steve Martin and begins his troubles. Great, great movie. Roger Ebert put it on his list as one of the great, great movies of all time. And one of my other favorite scenes is when the Ray Charles mess around and he's playing while Steve Martin's asleep and he's playing the keyboard on the dashboard and he almost hits a deer and flies around in the car a whole bunch of times. Right. Really good. You want to do one more scene, Dad? Want to try one more?
Okay.
Which one? Let's see. All right, let's do that.
Oh, this is the one.
Which one do you want to do? We could do Del and Neil. Why don't we do that? Oh, okay. Why don't we do this one? When they're in bed in the hotel room, Neil and Del are holding hands. You got that one? Should be on the fourth page.
Yeah,
let's do that one because this is the song that they do in this scene. So Neil and Del are in bed in the hotel room, and Neil and Del are holding hands as they awaken.
Del, why did you kiss my ear?
Why are you holding my hand?
Where's your other hand?
Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
Ah! Did you see that Bears game last week?
No. The Bears game that last week? Yeah. Hell of a game.
Bears got a great team this year. They got to go all the way.
Okay. Full screaming shock and get out of bed, gross stuff.
Yeah.
Shake off and pretend to forget.
Do you want to try that one again? Let's do that one again.
I see. That's
one. All right, let's do that one again. Ready? All right, we'll go take it from the top. Ready? All right, Neil and Del are in bed in the hotel room. Neil and Del are holding hands as they awaken.
Del, why did you kiss my ear?
Why are you holding my hand?
Where's your other hand?
Between two pillows.
Those aren't pillows.
Ah!
See the Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game.
Bears got a great team this year. They're going all the way.
Hoy! There you go.
All right.
Good. Very good.
My lines. What else you got?
That's good.
They got a lot of them.
Want to do one more? You want to move on to the quiz? We can move on to the quiz. Let's do the alpha genre quiz. I'm going to give you a quiz coming right up on Watch This with Chris Earle. And my guest is Paul Earle today. We're going to do the alpha genre movie quiz. I write a quiz every week for my guest. And today's genre is the epic movie. Be back in a moment, and we will do the alpha genre quiz with my dad here on Watch This with Chris Earle.
Four friends who join the army together can live, work, and see Europe together. We'll guarantee it.
Be all that you can be.
See your army recruiter today.
'Cause we need you in the army.
Paid for by the U.S. Army.
Here we go. This is the section of the program where we do the alpha genre movie quiz. So my guest, I create a series of 12 questions. The first 10 are multiple choice, and then the last two are bonus questions. And you either will win a copy of a good movie, or you're going to win a sticker. That's what you're gonna. Those are the things on the table today, Dad. You're either going to win a WMFO sticker as a runner-up prize, or if you get 7 or more, you will get the good DVD. And today's DVD is Black Hawk Down. It's a good movie, right? Yeah, yeah. And we talked about Black Hawk Down a couple of weeks ago on Watch This. All right, so the alpha genre movie quiz. Today's genre is the epic movie. Again, score 8 or above. Or 7 or above, and you will get the DVD. So what I do is I pick a dirty dozen of 12 movies that you should see before you die. So the epic movie, people wonder what an epic movie may be. It is a style of filmmaking with large-scale, sweeping scope and spectacle. The usage of the term has shifted over time a little bit, sometimes designating a film genre, and at other times simply synonymous with big-budget filmmaking. So these are the huge, huge movies. You think of movies like Ben-Hur, Gone with the Wind, okay? So epics in the classical literary sense is often focused on a heroic character. So my quiz today is on some of my own favorite epic movies. So here are 12 epic movies you need to watch before you die. And the 12 questions are going to be based on these 12 epic movies. The first one is Gone with the Wind from 1939. The second one is Ben-Hur from 1959. The third one is Spartacus from 1960. Lawrence of Arabia from 1962. 2001 A Space Odyssey from 1968. Dancers with Wolves from 1990. Schindler's List from 1993. The Shawshank Redemption from 1994, Braveheart from 1995, Titanic from 1997, Saving Private Ryan from 1998, and The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring from 2001. Here is question number one, and they will go in ascending order. In the movie Gone with the Wind, who was the first African-American to win an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress? I'm going to give you multiple choice, Dad. The first one, Vivian Leigh. Second is Hattie McDaniel. Third is Olivia de Havilland. Or D, the fourth one, Cary Grant. So again, in the movie Gone with the Wind, who was the first African-American to win an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress? Was it Vivian Leigh, Hattie McDaniel, Olivia de Havilland, or Cary Grant?
It's two.
Two? Hattie McDaniel. Yeah. That is correct. That is correct. You are one for one. Moving on. Question number two. In Ben-Hur from 1959, who plays Judah? Is it A, Charlton Heston? Is it B, Stephen Boyd? Is it C, Jack Nicholson? Or is it D, Jack Hawkins?
Charlton Heston.
Charlton Heston?
Judah Ben-Hur.
That is correct. Judah Ben-Hur, Charlton Heston. Two for two. Third question. Who directed Spartacus from 1960? Is it A, Buster Douglas? Is it B, John Ford? Is it C, Stanley Kubrick? Or is it D, David Lean? Want me to read that one again?
Yeah, read it again.
Who directed Spartacus? Is it Buster Douglas, John Ford, Stanley Kubrick, David Lean?
I'm going to say it's three or four. I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess John Ford.
That is incorrect. It was Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Number four, in Lawrence of Arabia, 1964, who played Sheriff Ali? Was it A, Omar Sharif? Was it B, Alec Guinness? Was it C, Peter O'Toole? Or was it D, Anthony Quinn? In Lawrence of Arabia, who played Sheriff Ali? Omar Sharif, Alec Guinness, Peter O'Toole, Anthony Quinn.
Peter O'Toole.
That is incorrect. Peter O'Toole was Lawrence. Sheriff Ali was Omar Sharif.
Yeah.
So you got two for four. Number five. What is the computer's name in 2001 A Space Odyssey? Is it the PAX-12? Is it the HAL 9000? Is it R2-D2, or is it 2112XL?
I don't know. 2112XL? No.
That is incorrect. It is the HAL 9000. Open the pod bay's door, Hal. That's what he says. Okay. Open the pod bay's door, Hal. Number six. You are still on your way. Who directed and starred in Best Picture of 1990? Dances with Wolves. Was it Martin Scorsese, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Kevin Arnold, or Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner.
That is correct. Kevin Costner. Number seven, in Schindler's List, Oscar Schindler ends up saving approximately how many people's lives from being transported to Auschwitz? Is it A, 50? Is it B, 100? Is it C, 850? Or is it D, 2,000?
I think it's 2,000. Could be 850, but I think it's 2,000.
That is incorrect. It was 850.
850.
It was 850.
My second guess.
Okay, number eight. Who wrote the novel? Number eight. Who wrote the novella Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption, which the movie The Shawshank Redemption was based upon? Was it A, Frank Darabont, B, Tim Robbins, C, Stephen King, or D, Quentin Tarantino?
Stephen King?
That is correct. You are on your way. You are on your way. In Braveheart from 1995, which former prisoner, in parentheses, plays King Edward I? Is it A, Mel Gibson? Is it B, Angus McFadden? Is it C, Patrick McGoohan? Or is it D, Bill Cosby?
A, Mel Gibson?
That is incorrect. The former prisoner who plays King Edward I was Patrick McGoohan, who also played the prisoner in 1968 BBC TV series. You could still make it. Number 10, in the movie Titanic, name the two main characters. Are they A, Rose and Charles, B, Jack and Rose, C, Sam and Diane, or D, Jack and Diane?
It's Jack and Diane.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
That is incorrect. It is Jack and Rose.
Jack and Rose, right.
Jack and Rose.
What did I say? Did you say Jack?
You said Jack and Diane. That's a little ditty from John Cougar Mellencamp, Jack and Diane. One, two, Three, four. That's all right. You're going to get a sticker, Dad. But let's do the last two. Let's do the last two. Name Matt Damon's character in Saving Private Ryan. No multiple choice. You have to answer this.
Matt Damon's character?
What is Matt Damon's character in Saving Private Ryan? For the bonus point.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon's character in Saving Private Ryan was named... The one they were trying to find.
I know.
In Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that Tom Hanks was looking for, which one of the brothers is he? Yeah.
Want me to give you a hint?
Yeah.
The name is in the title.
Saving Private Ryan. Ryan. Saving Private Ryan. That's his last name.
Matt Damon's character is named... You're overthinking it.
You mean, what are you talking about, Private Ryan?
Yeah, his name's Private Ryan. There you go.
I know that. I thought you meant his first name.
No, it's Private Ryan. It's Ryan.
Private Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
You meant the first name.
Nope, that's it. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you the check mark for that. And then a final question, the yes or no question. Did the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, did it win a Best Picture Oscar in 2001? Yes or no?
I'll guess yes.
Incorrect.
No.
It was a no. Okay. Here you go. Yeah. It's a WMFO sticker. A WMFO sticker for Dad today.
Private Ryan. What's Private Ryan's first name?
It's just Ryan. It's just Ryan. All we know is Private Ryan. Just.
Nope.
Just characters. Private Ryan. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, five. 5 out of 12.
Okay.
But that was a tough quiz. But enjoy the sticker. Very good.
Right, I will.
Very good. All right. It's Watch This with Chris Earle. My guest today is Paul Earle, my dad. We did Paul's 5 flicks. We did the alpha genre movie quiz. We did Are You Ready for Your Close Up? I think we can move on to the next section here. We'll do the See It, Rent It, Skip It. What's out in the theaters right now? Now showing. Watch This is here with you until 7 p.m. Now showing coming up next. Thank you. right, coming up now on Watch This with Chris Earle and Paul Earle. Now showing. This is the section of the show where we talk about what's in the actual theaters. What is playing out there? What is worth your $20? When you go out to a movie nowadays, you're pretty much, you know, paying $10 to $20 a ticket, especially if you go with a date, you know, you're going out and having dinner, you're having a $100 night seeing the movies now, pretty much. So these are the top 10 movies for the weekend of Friday the 13th up until Sunday the 16th. These are some choices on what to see that's currently showing in the theaters. We discuss the top 10 movies that are out right now. For each movie, do we want to see it? Do we want to wait for the rental? Or do we have absolutely no interest and we want to skip it? So let's play See It, Rent It, or Skip It here on Watch This with Chris Earle and Paul Earle. So the first movie in the top 10 is Chappaquiddick. It is PG-13. It is 1 hour and 46 minutes. It's a drama. It's also a historical movie and a thriller. It's depicting Ted Kennedy's involvement in the fatal 1969 car accident that claimed the life of a young campaign strategist, Mary Jo. How do you pronounce her last name, Dad? Is Kopechne? Is that right?
Kopechne, yeah.
Is that correct? Kopechne?
Kopechne, yeah.
Yeah, so Mary Jo Kopechne. It's,
I can remember the headlines.
Yeah, so it came out, the movie came out 2 weeks ago. It was number 7 last week. It's number 10 this week. It made $3.1 million, $11 million total right now. It has an IMDb rating of 6.8 out of 10. See it, rent it, or skip it. I say rent it. I'm not going to see this one in the movie, but I also know that you already saw this one, Dad.
I already saw it.
Was it worth a see it, or do you think it was a rent it or skip it?
Well, it was worth it for me to see it because I lived through it, and, you know, I've been living in Massachusetts most of my life, and Ted Kennedy has been in the headlines for years. And going back to seeing the movie, it happened in July 1969. It was the same week the men were on their way to the moon.
Okay.
So two big events were going on. So
right,
here's the big
yeah.
event of the moon landing. In fact, they even used that in the movie to try to defer the notoriety which Teddy's getting that week.
Right, because it was July 20th, 1969 was the moon landing,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And when was Chappaquiddick? It was the same week?
I think it was the 19th.
Wow, no kidding.
Here's what I did. It happened, and I can remember being in Toastmasters, and Ed Landreth, who's no longer with us, when he gave a speech in the 80s about how Teddy Kennedy will never be president, and Eddie, he's in the hereafter now. It happened. Teddy never became president.
And
was probably a big factor.
Oh, absolutely.
Because
yeah.
Joseph P. Kennedy, Daddy, was promoting all his boys, and Teddy was the last one to promote to be another president after Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So what I finally did was I can remember going to the Vineyard in 1973. Unless you were only two. And I rented a Boston Whaler, mm-hmm. It's a 17-foot boat outboard at Edgartown, and I wanted to take the boat over and look at the Chappaquiddick Bridge. And when I went over there to look at this bridge,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have any guardrails on it, but you know, the road coming to it and going over it is a straightaway. So, if you want to look at what happened, just the fact that the accident wasn't reported, you know, immediately, and what happened, it's a shame.
Yeah.
So the movie, you know, shows, and they try to put the, especially the theme on the tragic, you know, death of Mary Jo Kopechne, and she had been famous because she was part of what they called the Boiler Room Girls when Bobby Kennedy was running for president, and of course he was killed right after Martin Luther King in
sure.
June of 1968. So here we are, a year later.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a see it for Dad.
It was a see it for Dad, and anybody who lived through that era and knows, you know, the whole legacy of all the Kennedys in Massachusetts, it's a historic event to go see it,
mm-hmm.
and it's played, you know, fairly well, and. And especially the scenes with Teddy and Joe gathering all these news media people,
to get together to try to save Teddy Kennedy's reputation.
Sure, yeah.
To run for presidency again. And Joe is really depicted very upset with his son for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say see it now if you have the time. And just to put in 2 cents for the Showcase Cinemas, every Tuesday afternoon, believe it or not, it's $8.50 to get in for senior citizens.
There you go.
That's 60 and up, and you get a free Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
There you go. That'll keep you going.
And this is the first time I ever went to that one.
All right.
At that time. And my wife and I were the only person sitting in the reserve sitting row. And there must have been some people in there from maybe an assisted living home or something.
Sure.
There were about 10 people sitting behind us. So there were 12 people in the theater for the 3:40 p.m. showing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. Go see it if you have time and you live through the Kennedy areas. This sort
All
of
right.
finishes off.
So that's... That's number 10, Chappaquiddick. Dad says, see it, I say rent it. Number 9, Acrimony. It's 2 hours long. It's a thriller. A faithful wife who's tired of standing by her devious husband is enraged when it becomes clear that she has been betrayed. It made $3.7 million, a total of 37.8. It's been out for 3 weeks, directed by Tyler Perry, who's made about 3,000 movies in the last 10 years. It was number 5 last week. I'm saying skip it. An old premise. Don't have any interest in seeing this one. It's got a 4.9 out of 10 on IMDb. What about you, Dad? Acrimony.
Well, when it comes out on cable, I might watch it, and otherwise I might rent it.
All right, there we go. So you got to rent it for Acrimony. Number 8, I Can Only Imagine. It's been out for 5 weeks. It made $4.1 million, $75.3 million total. It's got a 7.6 out of 10. It was number 6 last week. It's number 8 this week. It's PG rated. It's rated PG. It's an hour and 50 minutes drama and family. The inspiring and unknown true story behind Mercy Me's beloved chart-topping song that brings ultimate hope to many. A gripping reminder of the power of true forgiveness. So this is one of those Christian movies that all the Christians are going to see. That's why it's made $75.3 million. I say skip it. What do you say, Dad?
I'll skip it, too.
All right. I Can Only Imagine. We got 2 skips for that. Number 7, Isle of Dogs. It's a see it for me on this one. It's set in Japan. Isle of Dogs follows a boy's odyssey in search of his lost dog. A boy's odyssey in search of his lost dog. It was made $5.5 million, total of $18.9 million total in its fourth week of release. It's got an 8.2 out of 10. So good scores. It was number 10 last week. It's number 7 this week. I'm saying see it because I like all these Wes Anderson movies. So this is an animated movie about a Japanese kid, and he goes to this Isle of Dogs. You going to see this one, Dad?
No.
So I have to skip it for Dad.
I never see an animated movie until it comes out on cable.
Mm-hmm. All right, so it's a skip it for Dad. It's a see it for me. Number 6 is Black Panther. I already saw this one. So T'Challa, the king of Wakanda, rises to the throne in the isolated, technologically advanced African nation. But his claim is challenged by his vengeful outsider who was a childhood victim of his father's mistake. I already saw this one. I enjoyed it. It made $5.8 million more over the weekend. Its total is $674.2 million after 9 weeks. It's got a 7.7 out of 10. On IMDb, I'm saying rent it on this, even though I saw it already. But, Dad, are you going to see Black Panther and join America in promoting Black Panther?
I'll rent it when it gets there.
You're going to rent it. All right. This is a rent it from Dad. It's a rent it from me. The next one is called Blockers. It's really cock blockers because there's a picture of a rooster in the poster. They were being clever. It's three parents who try to stop their daughters from having sex on prom night. I'm saying rent it. It's a comedy. It's got a 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb. What do you say, Dad? You going to go see cock blockers?
I don't think so.
All right, just skip it from Dad.
I don't have that problem anymore. Okay. My daughter's married and she's 34.
All right, all right. So it's a skip it from Dad on that one. Ready Player One, it's by Steven Spielberg. It's a huge Steven Spielberg movie. Looking forward to this one. I say see it. It's action, adventure, sci-fi. It's PG-13. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's made $114 million in the last 3 weeks. I always love these big Steven Spielberg sci-fi movies. What do you say, Dad? You going to see this one?
Is this people or is this animation?
This is people. It's Ready Player One, but it's also it's a sci-fi, so there is CGI in it. So it's partially animated.
Yeah, I'll rent it.
You're going to rent that one? All right. New one on the list, number three, Truth or Dare. It made $18.7 million in its first week. A harmless game of Truth or Dare among friends turns deadly when someone or something begins to punish those who tell a lie or refuse the dare. It's a horror movie. It's an hour and 40 minutes long. It's PG-13. It's got a 4.4 out of 10 on IMDb. I am saying skip it. What about you, Dad? Are you going to see Truth or Dare?
I'll skip it, too.
He's going to skip it, too. All right. A Quiet Place. It's another horror movie, thriller, drama. It's an hour and 30 minutes, PG-13. It was made by Jim from The Office. A family is forced to live in silence while hiding from creatures that hunt by sound. It made $33.3 million over the weekend. It's got $100 million in total in its second week. It's doing pretty well in the box office. It's got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It was number one last week. It's coming in at number two this week. I am saying see it. I want to see this one. Yeah. What about you, Dad?
Yeah, I'll rent it.
You're going to rent this one. All right. And number one this week is a movie called Rampage, which is based on a video game from the 80s. It stars The Rock. When three different animals become infected with a dangerous pathogen, a primatologist and a geneticist team up to stop them from destroying Chicago. It made $35.8 million in its first week. It's got a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb. I am saying rent it on this one. I am not going to spend $20 to see a movie based on a video game called Rampage. What about yourself, Dad?
I'm surprised you're not seeing it because you go to Chicago all the time.
That's true, too. Maybe I will. I just saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off again, which also shows Chicago a lot, so was kind of neat. But it's a rent it for me on that. You going to see Rampage, Dad?
No, I'll rent it, too.
You going to rent that one? All right. That is see it, rent it, skip it. And this has been Watch This with Chris Searle and my father, Paul Earl. Thanks for coming in, Dad. We did an excellent job. You did a wonderful job today on the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles scene.
Yeah, it was fun.
And thanks for coming in once again. Did you have fun?
Well, yeah, I always missed my... In ninth grade, I had the opportunity to be one of the stars in a play.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the play got canceled because some politician died and we had the day off.
Mm-hmm.
It happened down in Fall River, Massachusetts. But I never became a thespian. My father, he used to act in plays when he was a teacher in high school. But I often wonder how I might have been had I tried to stay in plays and acting and how good it might have been. My daughter Katie's also was, she had the lead in the summer play when she was going to a summer camp at a school in Concord.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember, she did a great job and I videotaped it. So this is when she's a teenager. But what happened was I was far away and she didn't project her voice enough. But she actually got an Academy Award on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you were down close to the stage, you could have heard her. But I often wonder, she had an excellent memory, whether or not she should have tried to pursue acting. It's always interesting who makes it. You know who is an actress is Natasha Martin, who my friend John Martin's daughter.
Sure.
And you met her long ago.
Yeah.
If you look at Natasha Martin online, you'll see her doing some of her filming tests, you know, and she's pretty good. So who knows? But it's a big world, and it always amazes me. It's just like Toastmasters. When you get down to the end, how talented some people are who don't look like they have any talent,
mm-hmm.
you know, to act or act. But it's amazing how many people do. And of course, when you look at all the movies and you look at all the, it takes a lot of secondary actors, you know, other than the maybe leading man and leading lady in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tremendous talent that it takes to make all these movies.
You did a great job just playing Neil Page today, Dad. And you never